Is there a storm raging in your life, beloved? Do you feel like the roof is going to come off, like you're going to drown in the flood that is coming your way? Do you think, but I didn't see the storm warning? Oh, precious one, what I want to do today is I want to take you to a message I brought at Precepts National Convention. It's about who is in the boat with you. And I want you to know he's the one that has the storm under control. Let's look at it. What is wearing you? What is wearing you out? What is tormenting you? Is the pace of life, is your pace of life overwhelming? Do you find yourself just running from one thing to another thing and not being able to be still? How are you handling stress? What trials and temptations and testings are besieging you right now? Put a word to it. Name the trial. Name the temptation. Name the test. Is life like a storm on the horizon? Is the sky dark and threatening? Is the wind increasing? Are you afraid? Are you full of fear? Because you think it's going to overwhelm you. And you're afraid you're not going to make it. Are there churning seas of discontent in your life, beloved? Contentment is one of the main issues that women deal with. The lack of it. Is there discontent with yourself? You don't measure up physically. You don't measure up intellectually. You don't measure up spiritually. You look at your friends and others and you're discontent because you don't have the things, the clothes, the jewelry, the house, the cars, the vacations, the family relationships, the marriage, the children that you long for. Do you constantly deal with feelings of inadequacy? Inadequacy as a homemaker. You know you're not doing enough, you're tired, you're worn out. It's overwhelming when you come home from work. Or you're a stay-at-home mom and you think, I should be getting more done. Do you feel inadequacy as a mother? Do you feel inadequacy as a wife? Are you dealing with inadequacy in your job? Are you worried about you? Worried about your children? About your future? Your finances? Do you wish? Why don't you look at me now? Do you wish that you could say to all these things, hush, be still? Do you wish that you could put it all aside and know peace? Well, precious one, listen to me very, very carefully. You can, if you will believe God, if you will listen to His word, if you will get to know Him, if you will embrace everything that you know about God, then no matter the storm, no matter the clouds, no matter the increasing of the wind, you, precious one, will hear His voice as He says in that turmoil, peace, be still. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. I want to take you to Mark chapter 4, where you find the words, hush, be still. Or if you look at it in the King James Version, you find the words, peace, be still. Or in the New English Version, you see the words, peace, be still. And I want us to look at this as I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and I have diligently been praying for you, praying for the messages of the other speakers, and praying fervently that God would give me His message for you at this particular time. In Mark chapter 4, in verse 35, Jesus has just told the parable of the sower. He has told it, if you look up here, you'll see a boat. He's told it because the crowd was so immense that he got in the boat, and when he stepped into the boat, they pushed the boat out to sea just a little ways from the shore so that the crowd that was mobbing him could see him. And he told the parable of the sower of the seed. And he told this parable because he wanted them to understand. He wanted his disciples to understand. He wanted the multitude to understand that there is only one soil that is a good soil and that brings forth a harvest. And that is the soil who hears the word of God, believes that word, receives that word, and nothing chokes it and nothing stops it from bearing fruit. After he says this, then the boat is right there, and it says, on that day when evening came, verse 35, he said to them, let's go over to the other side, to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Every year we take a teaching tour to Israel. It is the greatest privilege of my life, as I was telling in our seminar, to take people to Israel and to teach them in depth the Word of God. We teach at Armageddon, at the Valley of Megiddo, we teach the book of Revelation. We teach it from chapter 5 all the way through chapter 20. At our first shot out of the tour, we go to Chorazin, where he says, woe to you, Chorazin and Bethsaida. For if the works that had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. And you didn't listen and you didn't believe. But there at Chorazin, we give you a whole overview of the Word of God. It is one perpetual feast as we sit on the southern steps. And as we sit on those southern steps, they're the very steps that Jesus walked in and out of as he went into the temple. And there we study prophecy. And there we study what it means to believe Jesus and to follow Jesus. It's an awesome, awesome experience. And as I'm standing here talking to you, in my mind's eye, I can see that beautiful Sea of Galilee. And I want you to know that the sea is such a size, it's small and relatively small, that you can stand on one shore and see what is happening on the other shore if it's a clear day. So Jesus has the boat. Of course, it's a bigger boat than this, but I couldn't get one from Israel in time. But anyway,
Jesus has the boat, and they go to the other side. In verse 36, leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. So they take Jesus and they get in the boat with him, and other boats come with him, and they begin to cross the sea. Now, when I was in Israel this time, in addition to teaching the tour, I was there early, and I cut a whole new series on the Gospel of Matthew. And I cut 55 television programs and radio programs right on site. And one of the places I went was to Mount Arbel. It's a magnificent, magnificent view of the Sea of Galilee. It was a glorious, marvelous day, and you could feel in the wind, you could feel the power of the Lord and the majesty of His might as you stood on this huge, huge cliff and looked down over the Sea of Galilee. And on that day, the wind had blown all the mist away, so everything was clear and it was bright and it was beautiful. But you could see the wind churning up that sea. And it's right through there near the horns of Hattim that the wind will come down. And as the wind comes down, it all of a sudden can take a sea that is very, very calm and stir that sea up until the sea is churning. And it says, there arose in verse 37 a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. I mean, this was not a boat like I have here on the platform. This was a boat with high sides. It wasn't too high because you wanted to use it as a fishing boat. But that storm was so bad that as that boat was rocking on that sea, all of a sudden the sea that was supposed to be beneath the boat was coming in the boat, and it was very, very scary. And where is Jesus? Well, listen to what it says. It says in verse 37, and there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. Here he is. Here's the storm going up. Here is Jesus. He's in the boat. He has a pillow for his head, and he is sound asleep. Now remember, there's a storm and he's asleep. But the disciples are very much awake. And it says, Jesus himself, verse 38, was in the stern, asleep on a cushion, and they woke him and they said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? We're perishing. We're about to drown. The water is coming into the boat. There is a storm and you're asleep. Don't you care? Have you ever wondered if God cares?
I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened.
Have you ever been in a situation of such trauma, such pain, such agony, such fear and torment, and you think, God, you don't care about me? God, I'm in the midst of a storm. God, I'm about to perish, and where are you? God! And you're trying to wake him up. And the one that keeps Israel never slumbers or never sleeps. But you're trying to wake him up. Do you not care? Have you ever thought that about God? Always, 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 if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, if we don't know the Word of God, if we don't understand the God of the Word, then we're going to think that he does not care. And that's exactly what the disciples thought. They're waking him up and they're saying, "Teacher, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now I want to ask you a question. Stop and think about it. You're in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. And if you're in the boat and you're in the boat with Jesus, are you going to perish? Are you going to perish? Yes or no? Tell me. No, you may think you're going to perish. You may feel like you're going to perish. But precious one, if Jesus is in the boat with you, then you are not going to perish because Jesus is there and he promises he will never leave you. He will never forsake you so that you can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do to me." God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But he has given us what? Power. He has given us what? Power. And what? Love. And what else? A sound mind. A sound mind is a mind under control. All of a sudden, because of the storm, their minds were no longer under control. And because their minds were no longer under control, they thought, now listen, they thought that they were going to perish. They thought that Jesus did not care. They thought he was just sleeping away and he was not going to come to their rescue. Remember this, precious one, that the serpent still comes. And you can hear the rattle like Janet does. I wish I had coined that or she had taught me. But you can hear the rattle. But what he's saying is he does not care about you. He does not care about you, but you have to understand, yes, he does care about you. And so in verse 39, it says, "And he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea," what? What does your Bible say? "Hush, be still," if you have a New American Standard. King James, what? "Peace, be still." You say, well, how did they go from a hush to a peace? Well, when you look at the word, this is what the implication of that word is. Calm. 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 When you are in the midst of a storm, what you need to do is you need to hear the voice of the one who is over the storm. You need to hear the voice of the one that is able to say to all your discontent, to all your panic, all your trials, all your temptations, all your testings, in the middle of all of that, what you need to hear is you need to hear that there is one who is in the boat with you, who is fully aware of the storm, and who is able to say to that storm, to that raging sea, to that fierce gale of a wind, "Peace, hush, be still." Now listen, he doesn't say it to the men in the boat. He doesn't say it to the men in the boat. He says it to the what? To the storm. And what he shows you in this is that he is the one that has the power over the storm. He is the one that has the power over the wind. He's the one that has the power that is raging. He is the one that is the God that is over all circumstances. But let's read on. Mark chapter 4, verse 39. Let's read it again. "He got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.'" The word, as I told you, is a word that means to hold one's peace. It means to be silent. But he is saying, be at peace. He is calming the storm. But then he turns to them. He speaks to the storm, but then the next thing he does is he turns to the men that are in the boat with him and he asks them a question. And anytime that you are in a trial, anytime you are in a traumatic situation, anytime that it is a storm in your life, anytime that there is not peace, that there is not stillness, you need to remember that Jesus is able to say, "Peace, be still." But this is what you need to hear him ask. And this is the question: why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? When the trial comes, when the storm comes, when the discontent comes, when the inadequacies come, when your mind is bombarded and you are being tormented, you need to stop. You need to stop and you need to remember that Jesus is there. You need to hear him say, "Peace, be still," to the circumstance so that you know that he is the God that is over all the circumstances. And he is the God that is over all the circumstances because God is sovereign. His sovereignty rules over all. There's nothing that can happen on the face of this earth, in the heavens, or on the earth, or beneath the earth, that God is not in charge of. God was even in charge of the serpent when he walked into the garden. God knew what the serpent was going to do. God knew what Eve was going to do. God knew what Adam was going to do. And before God ever spoke and brought the world into existence, Jesus said, "I am here. Here am I. Send me." And he was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Before, he's sovereign. He's over all. You need to hear him ask, "Why are you afraid?" And then the next question is this: do you still have no faith? Do you still have no faith? What is he saying? They have been with Jesus. They have seen Jesus heal the sick people. They have seen Jesus cast out demons. They have seen who Jesus is. They know that this Jesus that has done all these miracles, that has fed the multitudes, all this Jesus is in the boat with them, and he's saying to them, "Don't you know who I am? Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid?" And he says, "Do you still have no faith?" Now, he's just taught the parable of the sower. And he's taught what happens when the word of God falls on different soils, when it falls beside the wayside and the birds, the fowls of the air, come and snatch that word and take it away. And he's told us that these are those, when they hear the word, they don't even know it's come. They don't even know the bird's taken it away, and they don't even care. There are people walking around like this when it comes to spiritual things. Duh, duh, duh. They think it's absolutely stupid. They give no place to God whatsoever. The second kind of soil was the soil that falls by the rocky ground, and it springs up, but it don't spring down. It springs up, but it does not put down its roots. And it's a faith, and you see it, and people get excited, and I've received Jesus, and I'm so excited. Isn't this wonderful? And I'd be glad to give my testimony. But then when trials come, when tribulations come, when testing comes, because it has no root and it just sprung up without the root, then when that sun comes of these trials and these blistering things, it goes, and it just fades away. And it fades away because it has no root. So it's not true Christianity. It's just a response to this glorious good news that is not a solid response because there's no root. And if there's no root, there's no fruit. And then in verse 19, he describes of chapter 4, since I'm right here, I thought, why am I not reading it to you? But in chapter 4, verse 19, he talks about those that fall among the thorns. And it says, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are people that are sitting in church, that are going through the motions, that have a religion but not a relationship. And that word in their hearts, that soil of their hearts, is a soil that has thorns in it. And those thorns choke out the word. It's the worries of this world. It's the deceitfulness of riches. It is the lust of other things that choke out the word, and there's no fruit. And then he talks about in verse 20, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on good soil. They hear the word and they what? Accept it and they what? Bear fruit. This is genuine Christianity. And I think if you would study it and you would compare it with all the rest of the scripture and put it into the whole context of the word of God, you would see that genuine Christianity always bears fruit, and there's only one soil. But you can see the difference. Some, this good soil, some only bears forth 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. So why do we get more fruit? I mean, you get 3 degrees of a harvest. Why? Because it's what these people are doing with the faith that they have. So you can be a true believer. You can be in this storm, and you can be of little faith. And if you're of little faith, then you only have a 30-fold harvest. If you have more faith, you have a 60-fold harvest. If you're going to take God at his word and you're going to live accordingly, then you have a 100-fold harvest. And so he's speaking to them and he's saying, "You, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Faith in what? Faith in Jesus. Faith in who he is. Faith in the one who is here, here in the boat with you. The one who is here. The one who is not going to leave you. Who is not going to forsake you. It was this past May 28th. It was a Sunday. I have a small kitchen that I did not think out and is poorly organized. But in that small kitchen, right here is a couch. Okay, I'll do it this way. Right here is a couch. Here's the French doors. Sounds good. There are the doors that go out onto the patio. And over here is a chair where Jack will sit and we'll pray together. We'll get on our knees in front of that couch and a pretty little credenza, an old thing. And I light the lights and I go in there in the morning and I sit there. And if I get up early enough, I see the sun come up. And if not, I welcome the sun when I walk in. And I sit on the couch. I lean this way so I can look out the door because the couch is not facing the door. And on May 28th, I go in and it's my quiet place. And I go in and I sit down and it's almost like the minute I sit down, girls, I go, Because I'm going to meet with my God. Because I'm going to open His Word. Because I'm going to talk to Him and He's going to talk to me. Because when you open this book, listen to me carefully. This is not an ordinary book. This is the very words of God. The very words of God. God has spoken. And when you open this book, you are not hearing from man. You are hearing directly from God. You have to have no doubt about it. This is pure, unadulterated truth. Jesus prayed for you, Father, sanctify them, set them apart, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. So I opened. And as I opened, I turned to Psalm 62. We had been out with our youngest son. And when we were out with our youngest son, two nights before, we had just gotten home. I had just gotten home from Israel. And I opened this because he said it was his favorite psalm. And so I wanted to focus that morning on my youngest son's favorite psalm. And it says, my soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. He says in verse 5, my soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. I shall not be shaken. He's my stronghold. He only is my rock and my salvation. Do you see him repeating it? Three times it says, He only. And then it says this, on God my salvation, verse 7, in my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Trust in Him at all times. At all times, I have put a clock because I want to know who and what and when. When is God saying this? When am I to do this? When is it going to happen? No matter what the situation, no matter the storm, no matter whether the water's coming in and the gale is fierce and you think you're going to perish, you are to trust in Him at all times. It says, trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Who is your refuge? Where do you run in the times of trouble? If you're in a storm and if you're in the boat, then you need to do as the disciples did. They went to Jesus. But when they went to Jesus, Jesus had to ask him a question. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Go back and look at Mark chapter 4 because I don't want you to miss this because this is the question that you need to ask. Why you need to answer to God? Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And the answer to that question was they didn't have faith. The answer to that question is they were afraid because they were not trusting the one that was in the boat with them. On that morning, for the first time, I noticed you only, you only, you only are my salvation. Because one of the things we teach people to do when we teach them to go to the Word of God for themselves, look at the side walls, to discover truth for yourself, to open the Word of God so that you go straight to the Word of God, so that you can say with the psalmist in 119:102, I have not turned aside from your commandments. Now listen, for you yourself have taught me. And God was teaching me again, you in God only, in God only, you only. Our security is only in one place. And it's in the one, Jesus Jesus, who is in the boat with us. That's where our security is. You only, you are my refuge. My husband said, now don't be late for church. I'll be sitting down front. He goes to Sunday school. I wasn't late, I don't think. Was I late? Just a little bit, just a little bit. He was on the third row. I think they were singing. I slipped in beside him. I'd had a wonderful time with the Lord. But I had been interceding very much for our middle son, whose name is Mark. And it's been such a delight for me and for Jack to work with our son, a son who loves our ministry, a son who has a heart for establishing people in God's word, a son who is so excited at what is going on all around the world in the 122 countries where we're working and in the 67 languages, a son who has a heart for missions, a son who loves Israel like his mother loves Israel. And what a joy it was. But when I came home from Israel, I got home on Thursday. He wasn't feeling well, so I didn't see him. And he said, I am so sick and I'm going home. And he had been vomiting and he had lost about 15 pounds. And he wasn't sleeping. So the next day I met with him. And we were sitting in our office and I could tell that he was feeling bad. And I thought, now is not the time to discuss business. It's the Memorial Day weekend. We can get together later. I said, son, go home. Go home and just go to bed. And I'm going to pray that you can sleep. And we prayed together and my son went home. I get to church. Now that was Friday. I get to church. And it's May the 28th, Sunday. I get into church, and you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to turn off my cell phone. That is not like me, but I forgot to turn it off. And you know what? It rang in the middle of John's message, my pastor's message. And we're on the third row. You know how I'm scrambling. If it's ever happened to you, you know. I am scrambling. I find the phone. I turn it off. But as I turn it off, I see that it is my grandson, John, that is calling me. John is 23 years old, and he is the son of Mark and my daughter-in-law, Leslie. And I'm sitting there, and it's about halfway through John's sermon, and I'm saying, Lord, what do I do? Because I'm on the third row. Do I get up? Do I walk out? Do I wait until the end of the message? You see, God wants us to trust in Him at all times. He wants us to be so still and so dependent on Him. And I'm not this way. I wish I were more. I'm this way sometimes. But that we would commit everything to Him. That we would walk in the power of His Holy Spirit so that our steps are directed by the Lord. Now He does that. He does that for us. It says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. But just this dependency, just this constant communication of praying without ceasing, constantly talking to God. That's what I want to learn about everything. At every moment to be cognizant of the fact that I belong to God and that I'm to walk with my hand in His. told Jack, I said, I've got to get this call. And I walked out. I got out and I called John. And John said, Mimi, we've just sent Dad to the hospital. And he was just having a seizure. And they've taken him. And I said, where? He said, Erlanger. And I said, we'll be right there. I went in, got my husband. We walked out of church. We got there before the ambulance got there. We got there before the family got there. And finally, to make a long story short, when the doctor came out, first to get my daughter in love and to get John and to tell them what the situation was, then John came out and he said, Mimi, please come in. And I went in and the doctor is standing there saying to me, your son, lady, has a huge blood clot on his brain. A huge blood clot on his brain. And lady, that's been there, we think, for at least 5 days. And he said, lady, this is very, very grave. It is very, very grave. He said, lady, he said, it is so grave, I don't know if he's going to make it. You're in the boat. All of a sudden, there is a storm. All of a sudden, you have this peace. You have this tranquility. You have this wonderful, quiet time with the Lord. And all of a sudden, the boat is rocking. The boat is moving. The water is coming in. What are you going to do? You need to remember that there is a sovereign God who can look at that turmoil and who can say, peace, be still. Who can calm it. But also, when I am afraid, the psalmist says, I will what? Put my what? Trust in thee. I'm a nurse. I know what a huge blood clot on the brain is. I know the damage that it has done, or the damage that it does when it stays there. I know that the doctor is saying to the nurse, I'm telling them we don't have time to wait. We are coming right now. Run ahead and tell them we are coming. We have to get this blood clot off of his brain immediately. And I walk in and look at my son. And I pray, God, and I want you to know, I love my sons. God, if Mark, as a result of this blood clot, is not going to be able to serve you and be of value to your kingdom, then I'm asking you to take him home. But Lord, if he is going to be of value to your kingdom, in whatever way, I'm asking you to spare his life. Why are you afraid? Why are you of little faith? Look at Mark chapter 4 in verse 41. It says, they became very much afraid. And they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now let's go back to this and then I'm going to go back to Mark. They're in a storm. The wind has come up. The water is coming in. They feel they're going to perish. Jesus is in the boat with them. Jesus is asleep in that boat. They wake him up and they say, you do not care. Listen, I know that God cares. I am not a woman of little faith. But the reason that I know God cares and the reason that I know and am not a woman of a little faith is because I had known Jesus a longer time than the disciples had known him. And I had the benefit of the whole counsel of God. And you do too. I've known him for 43 years now. 43 years. I came to know Christ at 2. No, I'm kidding. I'm 72. Came to know him at 29. But I know God. And I know God because I have been in His Word since I came to know Him. And I don't necessarily, I know I don't have hundredfold fruit, but I want hundredfold fruit. And I want to learn to hang on His every word and to live in the light of it. So I'm not a woman of little faith. But listen, if you look at this very carefully, he is saying to them, why are you afraid? And then what you see in verse 41, they became very much afraid. And they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now look, what did they become afraid of? Second, first they're afraid of what? The wind, the storm, the sea, the fact that they're going to perish, the fact that Jesus doesn't care. But then when Jesus steps on the scene, when he says to them, peace, when he says to the wind and the storm and the situation, hush, be still, peace, be still, be at calm, then they become what? Afraid of him. In any given situation, listen to me very carefully, and you may want to write it down. In any given situation, you can either fear the situation or you can fear God who is over the situation. You can fear the situation or you can fear God who is over the situation. Now, when I speak of fearing God, this is what I mean. It's the word for fearing God that means reverence. It's the word for fearing God that means trust. So to fear God, when it says that we are to fear God, it does not mean, if you look up here, it does not mean that you're just standing there shaking and knocking and falling apart like this because you're so afraid of Him. But rather, it is this kind of fear. It is the fear where you go down on your knees, so to speak. It's the fear where you respect Him, where you know who He is, and where you trust Him. And so all of a sudden, they're watching Jesus, and Jesus says to the storm, hush, be still, peace, be still, and the sea and the winds obey Him. And all of a sudden, they're looking at this one, and it's like their eyes pop open, and they see who's in the boat with them. So you can either look at the storm or you can look at the one who is where. Who is where? Tell me. Where? In the boat with you. In the boat with you. You either fear God or you fear the storm.
I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. Our son is in a process of recovery that will probably take a long time. In the midst of this, I saw him from being able to grip my hand and tell me who he was and who we were and who the president was, to all of a sudden losing all that and his arm laying there like a dead fish and him totally, absolutely, completely out of it. Because all of a sudden his sodium chloride went dangerously low. I determined in that trial
And I have several others going on too. My mother is dying. My husband is ill. And I'm watching this man that I love, this strong man that disciplines himself every morning and does exercises. I'm watching him hardly being able to walk at certain times, becoming so weak that he just has to sit down, and when he sits down, he still feels so weak. This man that I have rarely seen cry, with tears in his eyes, biting his tongue as he gets off of a plane, and I meet him off that plane, and I think he's going to collapse. I've got my arms around him. I'm holding him up. I'm trying to get him down to the escalator, trying to get him into the car. And not knowing what's wrong and not knowing what's causing it. What do you do, girls? What do you do when the storms come? You need to remember. You need to remember. You need to ask yourself, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Who's in the boat with you? Who's in the boat with you? Who is dwelling inside of you? Who says that he will never leave you? He will never forsake you. Who is the one that promises all things keep on working together for good? When this happened, I determined before God, I am not a burden-bearing animal. I am a sheep. And I am to roll and cast all of my care upon you because you care for me. You're in the boat with me. You know about the storm. Nothing hits you by surprise. You're the one that chose me in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And you are the one who has promised to perfect me and to make me complete and to stand blameless before you, before your throne with you in glory. This is who you are. I will not be afraid. When I am afraid, I will what? Put my trust in thee. I went through scriptures that summarize my situation. And one of them was this: in everything, give thanks, for this is the what? Will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The second thing was this, that I was going to count it all joy. Because James chapter 1 says, my brethren, count it, and cistern, my brethren, my cistern, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing this, that the trial of your faith, the testing of your faith, this is why Jesus said, why are you afraid? Do you still not believe? It's a test of your faith. And I am going to let patience have its perfect work so that I might be perfect, so that I might be entire, so that I might not be lacking anything. So that when I see him face to face, I'm not ashamed. The other thing was this. It says that we are to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Whatever the situation, you are to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You are to cast down imaginations. You are to cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I want you to know, on May 28th, on that day, we lost our COO. I lost the joy of working with my son. A dream that I had, and the dream was shattered and the dream was crashed. And you say, maybe someday, but not for a while. Everything changed that day. And my husband, since then, I've watched him. What am I going to do? I'm not going to be afraid of the storm. He has authority over the storm.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.